Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 206 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of June
16th.
I think, 2018. I am ill-prepared Chris Randazzo, and joining me tonight is unexpected flute solo Dan Ryan.
That was so racist. Like, why was he white?
We'll get to that. We will get to that. I have so many questions. E3 is here, and we have a lot to say about it. Before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. We're live right now. I know Dan and I, we're live every week to each other.
Certainly.
But now we're live on the internet for you, because it's E3, it's special, and it just so happens to be Tuesday night after the Nintendo conference is done and all the other conferences are done. So we figured, why the heck not, right? Let's jump in and do this thing live. Real quick, before we get to everything, another quick reminder that we are going to be doing a panel at Too Many Games, Panel Room 2, Saturday, June 23rd at 6:30 p.m., the Buy Something Will You panel. Me, Dan, and the Vest Lord Dean will be doing our regular thing where we run to the show floor, buy some stuff, talk about it, and then do the 10, 20, 30. It's going to be a good time. On to E3. So, boy, that was it's been a crazy couple of days, huh?
I am, man, I am decidedly whelmed by everyone. Like, I am not. There's a lot of typing going on, and I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No one can hear Dean typing in the background. Dean's using a Commodore 64 keyboard because it's like the loudest thing ever.
It's a mechanical, like.
Oh, he says it's like a VIC-20. Thank you.
Like, it really, for everyone listening to this either on the stream or when this is released as a podcast, if you've seen Super Troopers, when Ramahorn is at the computer going, clickety, 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 enhance, clickety, 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 enhance, that is exactly what it sounds like. It is incredibly distracting, but Dean, carry on and do the thing. I think, Chris, we have to stop getting hyped for E3.
I'll disagree. I was pretty entertained. I mean, I was really happy with Nintendo today. We'll go through it bit by bit, but
all right. Well,
this is weird.
Real quick, gut reactions. Without going into details on the games, who do you think showed the best content today? Obviously, Nintendo's number one. So, quick 1, 2, 3. For you.
Oh, geez, just the best content.
Yes.
Right? We're
yes.
just talking content?
Just
of the
content.
Big three only?
Yes.
Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft.
Okay. I would go Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft.
And understandably so. It's yeah
figures
personal preference, yeah.
Presentation-wise, 1, 2, 3.
Presentation-wise, it's actually kind of close, I'd say, but Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony.
Okay. I would say Microsoft, Nintendo, literally anything else, and then Sony.
Oh, see, like, what? I want to say that, but did you see Square's?
Shit show. Square's was so much better than 25 minutes of awkward panelists going, like, literally any second now.
Are we ready yet?
Are we ready?
No? Are we ready to do this? I'm so excited.
Let's talk about New Game Plus for God of War and then not explain what any of that is going to be. Are we going to the show floor? No, we're not. Okay, so here's something
vamp,
that was shown
vamp,
yesterday.
Vamp.
Oh, God. What a nightmare.
So, all right, before we get too deep into that, let's roll through things. I say let's just go for it.
Yeah.
Let's all right. Start at the beginning. Saturday night, EA kicked off E3. How did you feel about EA's show?
They did okay. Anthem looks like a really cool game that I'm not gonna play. It looks really awesome. But like, I just don't think I have that much time. You know what I mean? Like that looks like something that you are just going to have to devote way too much of your life to. You know what I mean? Like,
I completely agree. Well, I mean, granted, it's not for me to begin with. Mm. I've never really been into the BioWare games, to be fair, but I hope that they redeem themselves with this game, because I know the last Mass Effect a lot of people did not care for. So
yeah, I mean, it certainly has its fans, but it wasn't as well received as the first two, certainly. Mm-hmm. But Unravel, the sequel to Unravel, looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looked really cool,
as cute and charming as the first one. I didn't play the first one, so I don't know if it was any good.
I heard good things about it. This is one of those things that I'm just still astonished is not on Switch. This just seems like such a perfect fit for that platform. I'm shocked that they wouldn't throw this at it. Like, this more than FIFA belongs on the Switch. Yeah. Really, that was kind of my only major stun from EA was just the amount of content that they had that wasn't coming to Switch, you know?
Yeah, not a ton of stuff.
Just FIFA. I predicted Madden was going to come to Switch this year because FIFA was a success, and they're like, now we're just going to stick with FIFA.
Yeah.
Peace. And, all right, so the Battlefield stuff isn't coming. Whatever, I don't care. Clone Wars DLC, and I believe it's the movie Clone Wars, not the good cartoon, so
right.
The worst Star Wars movie DLC for Battlefield. Yay! Don't care. This is the only conference I didn't actually watch any of. Right. Did they show anything for Jedi Fallen Order? Or
no, just like a title card.
Yeah, gotcha.
But, that is actually one of the few that I would be super excited for. You know, like Respawn, they make good games.
What do we know Respawn from?
Titanfall.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they were... Yeah. They were fucking, I can't remember. They were like originally partially responsible for Call of Duty, in Call of Duty 4 or like the first Black Ops or like one of the 9 million Call of Duty games that came out. I believe I could be way off, but I think they were part of wasn't there like some lawsuit stuff that went on? And then they split off and formed their own company and Respawn. And Titanfall was the first thing that they made.
Was that them?
Yeah.
They were headquarters. What were they? Were they previously? They were found, according to Wikipedia, Jason West and Vince Zampella, who created and were responsible for the development of Call of Duty franchise at Infinity Ward.
They broke
off and did this.
That's what it was.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And the Titanfall games are really good, and they have some really, really interesting mechanics, and they play really well. So a lightsaber game, I'm into. What I mean?
That could be cool.
There could be something very, very cool there. The Battlefront 2 stuff, I couldn't care any less about.
Madden, the one NBA Live, FIFA, don't care.
Yeah, the Sea of Solitude thing. Looked really, really cool. This weird, little indie game that's all about loneliness and depression, which, a real crowd pleaser and family-friendly game. I don't know. It looked really cool. Some of the visuals and the presentation of it looked neat.
Anything else, EA, you want to talk about before we move on?
We have to talk about the Command & Conquer Rivals mobile game.
Sure we do. There, we did.
We did.
That was fun.
So, moving on.
And Battlefield 5 is happening. The end.
Yeah, Battle Royale for Battlefield 5. Out of all the Battle Royale stuff we predicted, the only one that got it was one we didn't predict. So,
of course.
We're horrible at this, Chris.
All right, so, Xbox.
Oh, you're skipping Bethesda? Or was Xbox before Bethesda?
Oh, was it before Bethesda? I don't remember what order they came in. Let's do Bethesda next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's the one that I have pulled up.
All right. Well, then Bethesda. That was cool.
Andrew WK. Always a welcome addition to anything. If Andrew WK is involved, I'm automatically interested.
They announced the sequel to Doom, so I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. They came with a really, really packed conference.
Yeah, Microsoft was first. Microsoft was at 4. Bethesda was at 9:30. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah, no, they did.
Doom Eternal. Good.
Yeah, Doom Eternal. Sold. That was it. Show's over. That's
yeah, we're good.
All I need from Bethesda. But they went ahead and were lots of things to lots of Bethesda fans, right? Rage 2.
Rage 2. New DLC for Prey.
Mm-hmm. Quake Champions. Trying to get back into get the Quake name all back into the...
No.
No. Are you watching videos?
No, that's the problem. I'm getting all these videos coming through the audio or through my headphones, but I can't find it. And it sounded like Doom was playing, so, and you guys were talking about Doom, so.
Nope. I'm going crazy. Cool. Dean's going crazy, ladies and gentlemen.
Sweet.
Anyway, back to business.
Okay.
Will do. All right. So where were we? We're talking about Quake Champions, getting Quake back Champions. In on that. The Elder Scrolls Legends Online and Blades.
Which, you know, the Elder Scrolls games are not for me, but man, are they for a lot of other people.
They sure are.
We got an announcement of Wolfenstein Youngblood, the next Wolfenstein game, set in the 80s. I'm actually really into that one. I'm like, that one looked really cool.
I kind of looked away for this because I haven't played Wolfenstein New Colossus yet. Waiting for that to hit Switch. But I'm in. I'm jazzed about it just because I liked Doom so much that it's bled into Wolfenstein fandom. So
well, there you go. Fallout 76, a completely online survival Fallout that is 4 times bigger than Fallout 4 and takes place in the hills of West Virginia. So tons and tons of meth, I assume, is what's going to be. And coal, baby.
Coal. And Fallout Shelter coming to Shelter, Switch and PS4.
Which is awesome.
I heard that was a lot of fun. It was supposed to be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Again, Fallout, not for me.
Yeah, ditto.
But also Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, that was the big one. That was the show closer. It was like, here's a bunch of trees. Elder Scrolls 6 is coming. And everyone was like, yeah! And I get that. I do. Because that's how I would be with, you know, any number of Nintendo properties. So that's cool. Yeah. And an original IP from them, Starfield.
Yeah.
That's something new. Something brand spanking new. So, yeah.
Bethesda probably had, like, the most... I don't know. I would say probably the most crowd-pleasing content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody just went nuts for everything they showed.
Yeah, Bethesda fans were left happy. There's no question about it. And you can't say that for any other camp.
No.
There was no other camp that left totally satisfied.
No. So, Microsoft.
The first of the big three. All right. I liked this show a lot because... It was a very traditional show. They didn't like bring a car on stage or anything big and stupid like that. It was games, and it was a solid attempt at carving out a personality for themselves. It was after last year, Dan, you and I both were. Microsoft is getting ready to leave the console business.
Oh yeah,
and this year there is zero question that is not the case.
No, they're not even a
tripling
little bit.
Down. They bought 5 studios. They have a bunch of content coming to their platform that is seemingly distinctively not PlayStation. You know, besides the stuff that is multi-platform, the stuff that they were pushing seemed to be a very much, at least attempting to carve out a personality that's not just these are the same games on PlayStation, except they technically look better.
Yeah.
And that's why I liked this show so much. I was so happy when this was over because it seemed like the people at Microsoft really want to be a part of this. And they brought 50 games.
Which is nuts.
That is nuts. And they went through like 50 games. A couple of them were in a montage, but they did good work. I mean, they debuted the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer before Square did.
Which is great.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Kingdom Hearts 3, man. As soon as I started hearing the characters talking, it's like, wow, is it me or is the voice acting in this pretty bad?
Oh, it's awful.
Is that still Haley Joel Osment doing Sora?
Who knows? Is he still alive?
Probably. Who knows? I just know that this game's story has me, like, my head spinning so fast, I can't even... I don't even... We'll get back to Kingdom Hearts during the Square one, or even during the PlayStation one. So kicking it off with this show started so strong because that with the environmental stuff they were showing for Halo Infinite before I knew it was Halo Infinite.
Yeah,
was really pretty. That was some really nice looking stuff. And then you know Chief's helmet and that cool Halo music, and I was like, all right, they're launched with Halo. Way to get us started. But then they followed it up with Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and wow.
That game does look absolutely gorgeous.
That was wow. I was totally floored by that. What a gorgeous looking game.
It looks absolutely stunning.
And later I saw some gameplay on it.
To push to 2019, because it was supposed to be out this year, right?
I really honestly don't remember. This hasn't been on my radar at all. I didn't play Ori and the Blind Forest. This has just been not on my radar in the least. So now it kind of is, just because I really like the idea of this game. I think it looks gorgeous. I think it looks fun.
Yeah, it does. It looks really good.
We're not going to go through all 50 games because we'll be here all night. So what's the big stuff? They did Sekiro, some ninja game?
Yes. The Dark Souls guys are making a ninja game. And that is awesome.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool. Dark Souls, Bloodborne, those games are excellent. They are super, super tough, but they are really, really good. And you add... you know, ninjas into it, and I'm into it. Like what looked really cool about this one was the way the main character was getting around the world of his left hand being like a prosthetic hand.
That's right. Yeah.
So he was like grappling hooking. I don't know the proper terminology there.
I honestly forgot all about this because of Ghost of Tsushima.
we'll get there. We'll get there. But this looked really cool. No,
that does look cool, yeah.
It looked really fun. It's a multi-platform game, so not the what we were talking about last week on the show of, and I know Platinum is not involved in this, but we were talking about, you know, Microsoft getting some sort of exclusive like this, but this does look very cool.
This Captain Spirit game showed up a couple of times. I don't know anything about Life is Strange, and...
it didn't hook me, but it hooked a lot of people.
I feel bad saying that it didn't look very good, because it seems like its heart's in the right place, but... I'm out.
I am completely uninterested in playing a game that stars Macaulay Culkin in 2018. That stars 1988 Macaulay Culkin in 2018 or 19 or whenever the hell it comes out. It is going to be free.
Yeah, so that's neat.
So that's kind of cool. The Life is Strange games were they played they were episodic games in like a Telltale fashion, but I mean a little bit different from the standard Telltale fare. I don't know, like I have the first one. I played through like the first two chapters, and I feel like it's one of those games where people kept saying, you know, like, oh, you just have to get to this next part, and then it's amazing. And then I would get to that part and be like, oh, you just have to get to the next thing. And I was like, it's just, whatever. I mean, whatever.
It's clearly not for us.
Yeah.
Crackdown 3 is officially 2019.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see.
It looks like Crackdown, and like, you know.
Good for them.
I love Crackdown. Terry Crews.
Is neat. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a wonderful show.
It didn't sound like Terry Crews.
It is completely and totally Terry Crews. But
Nier Automata. That's the one. Yeah, that's coming to Xbox,
which is great. Very good game.
That game is pretty cool. I don't care about Metro. I don't care about more Sea of Thieves. I wish I did, but Sea of Thieves did not do anything for me.
No, but they are giving it two expansion packs coming out relatively timely, which is nice for Rare.
Yeah, they're supporting this.
To be on the ball with something.
Yeah, they are definitely behind this game 100%. So yeah. I'll tip my hat to them for that. A bunch of Forza Horizon that I don't care about.
Nope, looks gorgeous.
Talked about their, yeah, looks gorgeous. They talked about all the buying of those studios. They bought 5 studios, Ninja Theory among them. That's actually kind of a bummer because I'm not getting an Xbox One anytime soon, but I think Ninja Theory does some pretty good stuff.
They do.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that was a bold move by them, and I appreciate the brazenness of them just plunking down a bunch of money and buying studios, including Playground Games, which I thought they already owned.
I thought they did, too. It doesn't surprise me that they bought Undead, the guys who are making State of Decay.
Mm-hmm. That's not surprising. Compulsion, who are doing We Happy Few, right?
Yeah, that didn't surprise me either. But the Ninja Theory one was the big one.
Yeah, that was the big one for me. What do you think of We Happy Few?
I don't know enough about it to even be able to form an opinion, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's every time I see this game, I feel like I should care a lot more than I do. And I don't.
Yeah, I know almost nothing about it.
They followed this with PUBG?
Yeah.
Is this not already on Xbox One?
It is. It is console exclusive to Xbox One.
So what was this trailer for?
A new mode, I believe.
Yeah, I was completely lost on this one.
Yeah, the PUBG thing has not grabbed either of us, and I know we are definitely in the minority on that. But I believe this was for a new mode that they were adding to the console release. Could also be for the Steam release.
I don't
PC
know.
Release. I don't know.
I'm gonna try Fortnite. I downloaded it on Switch because it was free. So there you go. I'll give that a whirl. See if I like it, but. I don't know, whatever. Let's see. They showed off some new Tomb Raider stuff.
I am fucking hyped for that game.
I have no doubt in my mind.
I mean, I know it's, again, a multi-platform thing. That is the only thing that I really feel is unfortunate for Xbox is that, yes, they did show some stuff that is carving their own identity, but, like, the best stuff, in my opinion, was the multi-platform stuff. Like, this Shadow of the Tomb Raider... You know, the last two, Rise of the Tomb Raider and the first Tomb Raider reboot, mm-hmm. are some of my absolute favorite games of, you know, this and the last generation. And they are just incredibly well-made games. And this one, if everything that they're talking about of adding more tombs and making this more like a Tomb Raider-style game...
Mm-hmm. This is the last of this prequel trilogy, too.
Right. So I was talking to Tiff about it earlier, and I was like, you know, this is one where, you know, like the digital deluxe edition is like $90, but it comes with the season pass and you'll get all the DLC and extra weapons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. This is one I would legitimately consider dropping $90 on. I love this version of this franchise so much. And this one looks amazing.
It does look very, very, very good.
Dude, she fucking Ramboed somebody. She, like, was painted up in mud and stealth-killed a motherfucker, like, when John Rambo pops out and is stabbing dudes in the neck. I'm in. 100%.
There's so much violence at this E3.
There was not a lot of charm this year. There wasn't a lot of, like...
I was so refreshed by Nintendo's. I was like, oh, Smash Brothers. Non-deathly violence.
Yeah. there is a new skateboarding game coming out.
Yeah, it's called Session.
It looked awful.
I couldn't agree more.
Right? Like, I can't be the only one who was watching that trailer and thinking, like, man, you're missing, like, 6 or 7 frames of animation in these tricks.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
That's a super nerdy thing to nitpick, but it with video games being where they are now, if the trick looks choppy as shit...
Yeah.
No.
Microsoft's whole thing was, you know, we've got the most powerful console on the planet. And so, yeah, whatever you show me better look polished.
I mean, dude is doing, like, basic, like, 360 flips and stuff off of, like, ledges. And they were, like, 172 flips with the missing animations. It was not great. And that sucks. I love skating games. I want a new one to be great.
I'm sure someone's going to get it right one of these days.
I don't know. Maybe if somebody could make like a skateboarding peripheral, that might be a thing.
I have one in my freaking garage if you want.
I have no doubt that you do, and I do not want.
No, you don't. All right, we got to skip around because we're spending a lot of time on Microsoft. We still have so much to cover. Devil May Cry 5, that was kind of a big deal.
It looks like some more Devil May Cry stuff.
It does. And it's what's neat about this is like I'm not the hugest Devil May Cry fan. I really liked the first one, and I didn't play any of them since. I played a little bit of 2, and then I just kind of stopped. But this is just kind of part of this really neat redemption arc for Capcom this year.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, here's the Devil May Cry that you wanted for a long time. We're going to remake Resident Evil 2, and here's Mega Man 11.
Spoilers
for things that already happened. We're going to talk more about that, but you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, no, Capcom seems to be like, all right, sorry, we fucked up.
All right, fine, we'll make some games.
I guess.
Here's Mega Man 11, enjoy.
Oh, look, and Ultra Ghouls and Ghosts. Like, oh, shit, Capcom, thank you.
So that's pretty cool. I'm happy for the Devil May Cry fans on this one.
I am so excited to play this game when it is free on PlayStation Plus in 3 years.
Fair enough. This one here, I have not heard anyone talk about since it showed up on there, and I'm sure I'm reading too much into this, but so they showed off some Cuphead DLC, which looks very cool, but what I think was really interesting was that they started it off, and I rewound to make sure I was right, with console launch exclusive.
Right.
Does that mean that Cuphead of some flavor is coming to something else someday?
No, because it is
They're talking about PC. Yeah.
PC, yeah.
But still.
Yeah. There was an interview within the last week or two with the studio that makes Cuphead. And MDHD, I think, or MDHR or something like that. MDHR. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, what's the deal with Cuphead coming to, you know, other platforms? And they were like, look, they were very particular in saying this Cuphead game is exclusive to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. However, we own the IP. So basically what that means is that this will end up like the first Titanfall. The first Titanfall was exclusive to Xbox. Titanfall 2 was multi-platform. Cuphead is a game that should be on every platform. It should be on PlayStation. It should be on Switch.
Agreed.
This is something that needs to be played by everybody. This DLC looks amazing, and they showed absolutely nothing other than Lady Chalice becoming Miss Chalice and getting legs. Yeah. But even still, I was like, oh, fuck, maybe Microsoft won. I don't know.
I can't believe this actually happened. They announced a new Battletoads.
I was right. My prediction was right. I'm so much better at this than you are.
You really are. They announced a new Battletoads. It's apparently a 2D hand-drawn animation and other things, and we don't know anything else about it. It's Battletoads. It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There were a few things at this Microsoft conference that were close to being like, I might buy an Xbox. You know what I mean? I'm not going to.
Me neither.
I say that. But there were things here, like a new Battletoads game. Like, that is the sort of thing that will get people on board of like, all right, fuck. Like, if I can...
As long as there's a holiday deal.
Right.
It's entirely possible that it could be garbage. We know nothing about it other than the name exists.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And it is about time.
Yeah. They said that they're working on their next consoles, so okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a surprise.
That's not a huge surprise. Well, I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise. I thought they were giving up on consoles. So,
well, that's true.
This next trio of announcements cracked me up because the Gears logo shows up.
Yeah.
And then it's a Pop figure, and I was like, oh, no, they're Federation forcing this right now.
They really were.
Oh, no. And then they were like, but we're not done with Gears. And we're like, oh, thank goodness they fixed it. Oh, no, it's a tactics game.
Oh, no. Bitch.
If they don't announce Gears 5, they're in so... There's the polite applause after both of those games was hysterical to hear.
It was
And
excellent.
Then they fixed everything by announcing Gears 5.
Yeah.
Which,
yay for people who love Gears.
Dude, the male characters are so freaking thick in these games.
It's ridiculous.
And, like, the woman was relatively reasonably proportioned. She looked like a human. And then, like, these giant hulking tree trunks walk past her. Like, go! What is happening here?
They all look like, and I know this is going to be a reference that is completely lost on you, but if Saquon Barkley's quads were able to be proportioned to the rest of his body, he would look like a fucking Gears of War character. And Saquon Barkley is the number 2 overall pick for the New York Giants. He is a running back whose leg muscles... The quad, Chris, is the upper leg muscle. Very large. They're ridiculous.
Thank you
should
look clarifying.
I'm here for you.
So then they did the whole closeout thing, and then they did the weird little, like, you know, interrupted one more thing.
Oh, but you forgot Jump Force.
Did I?
Naruto, some weird thing at the end, Goku, Frieza.
Yeah, it's some sort of like Jump Superstars crossover thing. I hate the art direction. It looked hideous to me.
Yeah.
To make a game with these characters and not have it use the art style for FighterZ at this point is just dumb.
Yeah. I
and
agree.
Like over detailed anime characters like this has never looked good to me. And this is like, I think that last thing was supposed to be, Death Note, I think, was the last thing that was up there,
sure.
But I don't know. But
no,
you know, Naruto, Goku, and whatever his name is from One Piece teaming up, like Battle Arena Don happened on the PS2. So this isn't like, oh my god, they're crossing over these characters for the first time. It's great. Like, there was the intro for Battle Arena Don involved like Goku, the One Piece dude, and Naruto eating ramen as fast as they could. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty.
This just. This just
I don't know.
Looked
this looks
devoid
cool.
of personality to me.
Yeah.
It could be cool, but it's like it just strikes me as one of those kind of generic things. Like, it didn't look special. And after, like, there's the world of anime-based games post FighterZ, and even to an extent post Ultimate Ninja Storm.
Yeah,
are just like don't do this. Don't make them look like this, because it just didn't look good.
Yeah.
It looked kind of cheap. But this whole, like, one more thing they did at the end was so weird to me, because I was completely lost and completely unimpressed.
Really?
It was Cyberpunk 2077, and I was like, all right, what the hell is it? Like, it's Cyberpunk 2077. I felt like the trailer was talking to me like I should know what it is.
You should know what it is.
But I didn't know what it was, and it's... But I get now that it's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal. It's the next game from the guys that made The Witcher.
Yeah, and that's
Witcher
cool.
3. Yeah,
but I am so far removed from The Witcher that once this popped up, I was like, "Huh, all right."
This is a game that has been talked about for quite a while, and it has been, you know, whispered about in corners of the internet of like, this is. This is the thing that CD Projekt Red is working on next. And like, there were, it was the name of the game was Data Mined, and like, oh, what the fuck could this be? And then when you see it, like, now granted that there wasn't any, you know, gameplay or anything. It was all just, you know, movies and shit, but looks very cool. The world looks very cool. And if it is half as good as The Witcher 3 was, it'll be amazing. So, there you go.
Neat.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's Microsoft.
That's Microsoft.
A good show.
It was a very solid show. I was very happy with them for having a good show, because they really needed one. And I feel like they're taking steps to attempt to right the ship. So good for them. Now let's talk about Square.
Okay. Do we have
this
to?
Was pointless. We can roll through this pretty quick, because this was pointless.
They showed nothing.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since Square has done an E3 conference.
Maybe.
At least a year. I know they skipped at least a year. And coming back with All right, more Tomb Raider. But we just saw
that. Yeah.
Stormblood Final Fantasy 14. All right. Monster Hunter DLC for Final Fantasy 14. Okay.
I mean, great.
Back to the Captain Spirit Life is Strange thing. We just saw that. Dragon Quest 11. All right. Still no word on the Switch version, which is weird because it was the first game announced for Switch before the Switch was called the Switch.
Yeah.
And we still have no word on the Switch version, which is strange. Babylon's Fall. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's new joint from Platinum Games for PS4, so cool.
I mean, everybody loves Platinum Games. They make great, weird shit.
Yeah. Hooray. So that's Nier, awesome. Nier coming to Xbox One. What a surprise. Except it was at the Microsoft conference.
Yeah.
Octopath Traveler. But we've seen tons of trailers for this game. Like,
and it's a coming demo. Out
next month, and there's a new demo. And did we need a new press conference for this?
No.
Just Cause 4, okay, whatever. The Quiet Man.
I don't know what to think about that one.
Yeah. And then Kingdom Hearts 3. And then that was it.
Yeah.
And it was like the same trailer from the Xbox conference.
Yeah.
Which was a weird trailer because I saw it, a couple of times at least from watching it just in these conferences. And it was music and voiceover, but no sound effects.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
That was weird.
That was really freaking strange. So you'd like get into these fights and you're hearing like the grunts and whatnot of the voice actors doing what's happening in the game, but there's no Foley at all.
Yeah.
It was really unnerving. I did not care for this trailer at all.
No ka-chings anywhere.
Yeah, there was no... it was weird. It was unfinished. There's something not right about it. And I am, again, still completely not sure why this isn't a franchise that's on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah. I am
completely unsure.
I was completely, totally shocked by the utter lack of Final Fantasy VII information.
Not even a sniff. But at this point,
not even a mention.
At this point, I thought, cool, they're saving it for the PlayStation conference.
Right, and no, they weren't.
Because that was 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
That was not last E3. That was the year before when Sony was making dreams come true. And it was like, Shenmue 3 is going to happen. The Final Fantasy remake is going to happen. And neither of those games even have a release date yet.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago.
I mean, they needed to show something for it.
They did. Just let even me know mention
what's going
it.
On.
Even mention it, because like we'll get to with the Nintendo thing, like Metroid Prime 4 wasn't there. But immediately afterwards, they said... It's not there because it's still being worked on. You're going to see it next year. Like you're going to see information about it when we're ready to talk about it. Like they confirmed things after the things that you didn't see. They talked about it afterwards. And that's not what's going on here. Final Fantasy VII Remake is in this strange limbo. So, boy, Square had a real dumb showing.
They really did. Just pointless.
It was completely pointless. All this stuff was somewhere else, or could have been somewhere else. Like, the one or two things that were here could have been somewhere else.
Yeah, that new Platinum Games thing could have been a part of the PlayStation conference.
It could have. They had room.
Probably, yeah, they did.
We're getting there.
Some might even say they had rooms, Chris. At least two of them. Oh, boy.
There was, I forget the other one. There were two other smaller ones. Limited Run Games did a conference.
Did they?
Did you catch any of that?
No.
It was hilarious. It was like all really crappy computer generated. Like it was in a fake auditorium with 2D cardboard cutout audience. It was really funny. And they announced a bunch of cool stuff, like a bunch of physical versions of things. So yay for them.
And then Devolver Digital shit all over E3 like they do every year, which is awesome. Yeah.
So the next big one was Ubisoft.
Yeah. There was, there was a wonderfully fun dance number to get it going.
Yeah. Like do they need to do this for?
Well, but Chris,
Just Dance is coming out,
but it's coming out for the Nintendo Wii, Chris.
I can't believe that's real. It's coming out for the Switch, it's coming out for the Wii U, and it's coming out for the Wii.
Like, that, what? Is that going to be the last official Wii game?
I thought Just Dance 2018 was the last official Wii game.
This is like FIFA in Brazil on the PlayStation 2, which I think they're still publishing.
They probably are. It's insane to me.
It really
but
is.
But they must have sold at least 10 copies on the Wii last year. So who's even carrying it? Like, I guess it's just like online orders or something.
Yeah.
What a weird thing. But yeah, they devoted a lot of time and energy to Just Dance. Like, I get that series makes money, but nobody here is... E3's not the place for this, guys. This isn't what anyone's here for.
E3's not the place for it, and it's not a thing that... It's like, now that's what I call music, volume 97. Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, you nobody at the Grammys is talking about that. Yeah. It's just coming.
The people who are going to buy it are already waiting with bated breath.
Mm-hmm. Yes. For they're already ready.
They know. They have it on the pre-ordered. Pile. Yeah, we're good.
Meanwhile, all the people that were excited that they finally had a complete Wii U collection were just like, damn it.
Now I got to buy one more game.
I got to buy another Just Dance game.
I have to buy yet another Just Dance. Yeah. Whatever.
I will say this about the Ubisoft conference is they did not have a douchey host. And I was very proud of them for just throwing away that situation. As much as I like Aisha Tyler, I did not love her hosting the Ubisoft thing because, I mean, her material was not great.
No, she hasn't been great at it.
Yeah. And
I'm glad they didn't try and like be like, oh, that Michelle Wolf girl was funny. Let's get her.
Yeah. No, they didn't even try. They just focused on games and hooray. So the biggest, well, there's actually a couple of things here that I really want to talk about, but one of the biggest things I want to talk about is Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah.
I have to say that while it does look impressive, all these CG cutscenes and the facial animations look mm-hmm. very impressive, this is not at all what I wanted.
No.
And I don't want to be that guy that's like, the guy that's complaining because I'm getting a sequel that's not what I wanted. But this seems like such a far departure from everything I liked about Beyond Good and Evil. Like, it's all kind of sort of open worldy, and it just smells like a kind of by the numbers Ubisoft game at this point. And
yeah. And I not don't, what made Beyond Good and Evil special.
I don't smell Michel Ancel in this game at all.
No.
Like, I don't smell his flavor. I don't get his personality through in this in the least. I will say that I was excited to see Paige and Jade because last year they said this game was a prequel that was set so far before the first one that it was before Jade was born. And then seeing Jade at the end, I was like, is that Jade? And then Paige says, Jade? And I was kind of excited, but here's the thing. It's been a long, long time since Beyond Good and Evil came out. It's been a very long time. And the game ended on a cliffhanger. The game ended with Paige looking at his hand, and one of the Dom's alien thingies was growing in his hand.
Yeah.
I want to know what happens next, not what happened before it with a whole other... This game's breaking my heart because I've wanted it for such a long time. And I love the fact that it's getting to happen and that so many people are, the people involved in it seem to really believe in it, but I'm really bummed that it is so far removed from what I want, which was really, I just want a modern take on what the original did.
Yeah.
And with the original's personality, like all this animation stuff that's hyper detailed looks cool, but I really liked the stylized look of the original. And
it does not look like a prequel or a sequel. It does not look like it is of the same universe.
Exactly. And that's kind of a bummer.
But on the other hand.
Yeah, on the other hand.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And his whole, what's that project thing that he's involved in called?
Hit
Record. All that stuff that's involved is
super cool.
Let's say it's dangerously super cool, because on one hand, it's super cool. But on the other hand, this could really easily turn into a way for studios to not do their own work.
That's true. Yeah.
That said, all that stuff is really cool. I'm really pleased with all that business. So, yay.
Yeah. They did.
Sorry, I was thirsty.
They showed some stuff for the new Trials game.
Trials Rising.
You've played those, right?
Very, very briefly. They've been kind of outside of my purview.
They're fun.
Yeah, they look cool. They look fun. And this one's coming to Switch. And I was like, yay, look at Ubisoft making good decisions. Like, yeah. This is a game that's perfect for that platform. Start making it. Like, Division 2 is not coming to Switch. That makes sense. Rainbow Six Siege, not coming to Switch. I buy that. That makes sense. Trials Rising, that should come to Switch. Good job, Ubisoft.
Yeah,
it looks fun. The presentation was a little over the top, but looks fun.
The Division 2 looks pretty cool though. Moving it to Washington D.C. will allow them to do some more interesting things, I think, with the storytelling and just different settings. Like the first game is so bleak, you know. Mm. I mean, yeah. I'm still pissed at Ubisoft because, like, back in 2013 when the first reveal trailer for The Division came out and it was all computer generated and it doesn't even look half as good as that trailer looked. And this new one doesn't even look half as good as that trailer looked in 2013. So I'm still kind of like, fuck you a little bit, Ubisoft. Like, just a little. Like, just the tip. Fuck you just a little bit.
But it's, you know, heading in a good direction.
Yeah.
Mario and Rabbids DK Adventure, that looks really good.
Sure.
I mean, I still have not played much of the original at all because I just have way too much on my plate. But and if I didn't get to see this part live, I had to leave work during the Division, so I was driving home for the back end of this. I believe
obviously
there was
watching it in your car as you were driving.
There was a live performance, I think, from
there was.
It's Kirkhope, right? He did the music for this one. Like, he was there. And
yeah, Grant
that's
Kirkhope.
Really cool. That's really cool. Tell me about Skull and Bones, because the only person I pay attention to who was, like, super excited for this game was really bummed out by it.
I know nothing about it. It's a pirate game.
Yeah, it's a pirate game. Apparently, you can't do all this. Like, I listened to the Blue Puppet guy Arlo on YouTube. I think he's fantastic. And this is a game he was super stoked about because he loved all the ship battles in, what was it, Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yeah.
And he figured, oh, look, they decided to just make a whole game about the cool ship battles and stuff with, like, some exploration and whatnot. And apparently it's just not that. It's kind of a little more bare bones, if you will.
Ooh, it's like a battle royale game, but with pirate ships.
With boats, yay.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
Right, so this next one here was one of the biggest surprises for me of all of E3, was that I give a crap about Starlink.
Do you?
I do. So the reason I initially give a crap about this, like, this was the Toys to Life game they announced last year, and everyone was scratching their heads like, you really want to do Toys to Life now?
Yeah.
Because it's done. It's over. Nobody's doing this anymore. And then at the end of this, they announced that Star Fox is involved, and they're doing this cool Star Fox crossover with this Starlink game, and you can play as Fox, and it's got the voice actors and the music from the Super Nintendo version of Star Fox. And the dude comes out on stage and he's all like, I playing the original Star Fox was the first polygonal game I ever played, and I love that game with all my heart, and getting to do this in this game that I've spent a lot of time on is really cool. And then Miyamoto's on stage there at the Ubisoft conference, and they give him the cool R-Wing Toys to Life thing,
which,
like, transforms
cool.
And stuff. That's really, really cool. And I was like, all right, you have my attention. That's kind of a neat thing. I still don't think I care about this game. Today, before Nintendo's thing today started, I'm at work and I'm going through some of the stuff from yesterday that I missed, and I watched this whole gameplay walkthrough with the game. And so you'll remember a few years ago, I was really impressed by No Man's Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really wanted that game. And then it came out and it was like,
Not
what
at all
anyone
what
wanted.
Anyone thought.
What Starlink seems to be is a non-procedurally generated, easier to manage version of No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
There's a set solar system. You fly seamlessly to and from the planets. It's got kind of a neat little mythology thing going on. You tag things and learn about them and learn their weaknesses. And there's some cool little air combat. And apparently you can play the whole game as Fox and his team, including them doing voice acting. And the Switch version has some exclusive missions that are based in the world of Star Fox.
So this is the Star Fox game that everybody wanted.
Well, it's the Star Fox game I didn't know I wanted, because making a Star Fox game, see, I'm just, you know, associating Star Fox with make a really cool on-rail Star Fox game. But this is actually a good direction to evolve that franchise, to make it something like No Man's Sky, but more contained and not procedurally generated, because I just don't love procedurally generated content.
Right.
I'm really considering this game now. All the gameplay stuff that I've seen of it, it looks like really nice. Like, it's visually impressive on the Switch. I frequently, because of so many games I play, or like stick figures, literally, I'm playing a West of Loathing, which is amazing. So much of the Switch doesn't really flex its muscles all that much.
Right.
You know, I remembered it when I was playing Doom, just being so impressed with how the game looked. I forget what the system's capable of sometimes. And this game looks really nice. I am shocked that I'm seriously considering buying this game, because it looks fun, and I think it would scratch that No Man's Sky itch that just isn't going to happen. Like, even with all the fixes they've done to No Man's Sky, I'm not going back to that game. It's just
there's
not
just
happen.
Such a bad taste in everybody's mouth from that game, unfortunately.
And this is a cool new IP. It's more Ubisoft Nintendo crossover stuff, and Mario and Rabbids did so good for him.
Yeah.
And it looks like something positive Star Fox related. So, yay.
Yeah, it looks pretty
big
cool.
Big thumbs up. Now, this was another one that this is when I jumped back in. I had gotten home at this point, and I jumped back in, and I'm looking at the gameplay for this, and I'm like, what the hell is this? This can't be Assassin's Creed, because there's, like, you know, fire swords and stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
This was Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
Huh?
Which apparently takes place hundreds of years before the game called Origins, which is not how those words work.
This didn't really look very Assassin's Creed-y to me, with all the, like, you know, I feel like Assassin's Creed's always been at least mostly grounded in reality.
Yeah, I don't know.
And this involves some, like, magic-y looking stuff, I guess. I wasn't
paying
a lot of
attention.
I am so
far out of that world.
Yeah.
I really am. I mean, I know people love it, and I hope this one's great, and they're doing some cool stuff with it, but I mean, you know, whatever. It'll be out this year, and then they'll talk about the next one that'll be out next year.
Yep.
It's just, I just don't care. There's too many at this point.
Yeah, there's too many. They need to stop annualizing this thing, and just stop.
Yeah,
take a year off and make a Prince of Persia game again. You can do it.
Please?
Come on. Okay, let's do this thing.
Okay.
So, last night, I put the kids to bed. We recorded this week's episode early. I turned on my shiny new PlayStation 4, downloaded the YouTube app, which is not easy to get to for some reason.
We'll that is a recent UI change to the home screen, and I don't care for it.
Yeah, why can't I just find the things I have? Whatever. Yeah,
it's a little dumb.
So I fired that up. I'm chilling by my Karen's upstairs. I got the basement to myself, ready to watch the PlayStation conference. I'm like, all right, let's see what Sony's going to bring me this year, because I finally have a PS4. I'm really excited to catch up on some of the backlog, and I'm really excited to see what are they going to hit us with. What is going to surprise me? And I tell you what surprised me was not only it starting off in a freaking church tent, but the, what was it, 365 solid minutes of dude on banjo?
He was playing the Last of Us 2 theme, which was cool. That was way too long. Like, a minute of that would have been fine. Because he was a hell of a banjo player. But
that was not interesting.
No, not for that long. It was not. But then, that trailer.
Yeah, that trailer.
Holy shit.
It was amazing and simultaneously sold me on, I don't think I want to play these games.
They're not for you.
I like fun, and this is so stressful looking. I'm watching this.
The Last of Us is very stressful, but
it's bleak as hell. And I'm looking at this like just completely blown away by it. But at the same time, I'm looking at this game kind of similar to the way I first played Portal when I first saw that. Like, I can't do that. I can't think like this. Like, she's running and she grabs that bottle thing and she's just like walking around and people are seeing her and she's jumping in between other things and hiding. Like, how do you know where to go? I have to look around first, and there's no time to look around because this guy's got a giant hammer and he's going to kill you with it.
But they play so intuitively. That's what's so amazing about
it. Yeah, that's the thing. It's from the Uncharted people, and I know that they can pull this off, but there's just something so bleak and just... I loved the violence in Doom because it's so far removed from reality.
It's so over the top. And this is just...
This is not over the top. This is like...
This is unnerving. This is real and impactful, and... It's one of the things that really sets Naughty Dog apart from other studios is that the violence in their games is, to a point, can reach an absurd level at times. But for the most part, the violence in their games is in service of the story.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of murder in Uncharted. Like, an obscene amount of murder. But in this one, at least it seemed almost a little more justified. Like, we're in this post-apocalyptic world where people are, it's kill or be killed. So I get that. It actually struck me even more than the Tomb Raider stuff. And I remember the little that I played of the first Tomb Raider revival thing. I felt like I was playing a snuff film.
Yeah.
It was so mean to Lara.
Yeah, they
really
were. But
this one, the violence felt a little more earned. And you got to give them some pretty huge props for... I mean, this is a big stage. This is the PlayStation conference at E3, and they highlighted a female-on-female kiss.
Yep. That's great.
You got to give them props for that. No, that was a bold play, and I haven't heard too many people griping about it either. So,
nor should there be. It's because it would be ridiculous for there to be. Like, it's sad.
Which is why I'm so surprised.
It's a bold play. You know what I mean? Like, it's sad in this day and age where we're going to be like, oh, man, there's a lesbian kiss. Oh, fuck. But it is a bold play. But the fact that there's not a huge backlash from it is great. Because there does not need to be. They're just people.
So
digital people. What a hell of a way to start off a show.
Yeah. I'm already... kind of turned off by the church tent and the banjo guy, but then they totally brought me back with this incredible looking trailer, right?
Yeah, I forgot all of the negative feelings of the 5 minutes of banjo.
Cool. We're on the right track here, and I realize why they're in the tent, because that tent is, you know, where the thing in The Last of Us happened. So, like, they brought you to a place that's in the game. That's
a very
neat.
Bold idea, a very cool idea for a conference. However, not executed well.
No, because what they decided to do next was bring the entire audience to a separate location.
Yep.
Which is a terrible plan.
It was, what, 25 minutes?
Something like that. And it felt like forever because they cut away to these people at a desk that are like talking about Call of Duty and some other stuff that's already been announced. And they had no idea how long they were going to be there.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they planned for X amount of time, not realizing that you're herding an entire audience from one place to another. And a lot of that audience is games journalism. There was definitely a dude in the audience that was sitting in two seats. Like,
yeah.
I'm not making a joke.
That's...
You're making that guy get up and move to another location.
Yeah.
That's not cool, man. This was a poorly thought out thing. But then I'm thinking, like, well, you know what? It's a neat idea that they're going to bring people to all these different locations, but they didn't. They did that first one and then they stopped. I'm like, okay, well then why didn't you just build this inside of the place where everyone was going to be and then make it something that you can tear away?
Yeah, that I get what they were going for. The execution was horrendous.
Absolutely abysmal, because the people at that table were not charismatic. They were very confused about what to say. It was It was so far off the rails. I could not believe what I was watching. We were watching their Wii Music moment.
We really were. And like, I am sure for the people that were there in attendance, it was nowhere near as abhorrent as it was for those of us watching at home.
I think it might have been worse.
I don't know, because like, you're moving and you're talking and you're shuffling off to the thing and like, oh fuck, dude, did you see that? That shit was crazy. Right? Like, you know, there's camaraderie in hurting, I suppose. You know what I mean?
I like, get that. I
you're
get
just,
that.
Like, we're all in this together and we're going off to this thing and, oh fuck, what do you think they're going to show? I heard they're going to show that. Like, you talk to people in line and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been to a theme park.
We're all in this together situation.
We're in this together. But for those of us watching at home, there should have been some sort of video package.
This should have been planned better, yes.
Right.
There should have been some announcements that were, you know, something to fill this that wasn't just a bunch of post-show wrap-up stuff.
Trailer. Like, talk about the multi-platform games that were coming out. Like, you could have talked about Sekiro. You could have talked about whatever, what fucking Ubisoft showed, or what, you know, like any of this other stuff. There was plenty to talk about. And E3, I mean, largely E3 is a show for the people that are there. You know, like, the show is like for the people that went to Los Angeles, and we're just, you know, Joe Schmo sitting on the couch, but there is a large portion, like, it made it the worst show for me watching it.
It did. And however, they feel like they didn't do a great job of recovering. See, this is what's so weird about this PlayStation conference and why it's so different from that Nintendo conference I mentioned with Wii Music.
Yeah.
Is that for the most part, the content was there. It was the constant execution problems.
Yeah.
Because, so before the conference starts, actually, I forgot to mention, before the conference starts, when they're doing that, like, pre-conference loading screen, like, the show's going to start soon.
Yeah.
They're showing all these weirdo little character things that turn out to be from Dreams that are all, like, warming up on these musical instruments. Okay. And so we're going to see Dreams today. Got it. We get to the stadium, the actual place where the rest of the place is going to be, the rest of the thing's going to be, because, which I didn't think was going to be the case. I thought they were still going to move to different locations, because I figured if they're doing this once, they're probably have like a thing planned.
Right.
But no, this is where they stayed for the rest of it. And they fire it off with a really pretty background. And then some white dude dressed up in traditional garb playing the flute for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Playing a Japanese flute. So, and like, I mean, cultural appropriation's a son of a bitch at the best of times. But, like, you're telling me you couldn't find one Asian dude that could have done that?
Yeah.
And that done was it better? Because so he wasn't
glaring
great.
Glaring to me. Yeah, no, he didn't blow me away. I turned on the Switch. My Switch next to me. I'm watching the E3 conference on my PS4. And I'm like, well, I'll play a little more Mega Man 9.
Yeah, that's not great. But then.
Yeah. But then. Wow.
Game of the show. For me.
Yeah. No, it's no surprise what my game of the show is, but we knew that going in. This
right.
was
taking that out of it, would this be your game of the show?
Probably.
Ghost of Tsushima.
And and not even something that I really think I'm going to play, but I might. It's on my list now. It's definitely something I'm looking forward to. There was so much cool stuff in this that as we got later into the trailer, like, besides the fact that it just looks cool, when he actually made it to that one room where he took out all the guys and they kind of showed how that works, where it like highlights this dude and then highlights this dude until in slow motion, it felt manageable. And that it would have been really fun to do. And this is something I actually kind of wanted to bring up during the Xbox thing. And even to an extent, the Last of Us thing that was so impressive to me. None of those things look like fun to me.
Right.
They look really impressive, but I want something that is actually fun. Like, I'm not always just there to see an interesting and gritty and horribly depressing story come to life.
Right.
I actually want the game to be fun.
I want the actual mechanics of what I'm doing to be enjoyable.
Precisely. And that's what this looked like to me. This looked like it would be a fun game. It reminded me of the Batman games.
Yeah, the grappling over on the buildings and like going all stealthy up on the like in the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
Graphically, this just looked out of control amazing with all of the leaves and the color palette that was in here.
Yeah,
it just looks stunning. This
I was really impressed by this game.
Holy shit.
Like, more impressed than I thought I was going to be.
This blew me away. This blew, and again, just like the Last of Us trailer, I mean, that is two very strong, strong trailers to throw out at the beginning of your conference. And again, made me completely forget, like, all right, I just sat for 25 minutes and then for 5 minutes watched this fucking white dude culturally appropriate Japanese music. But now I'm in.
Like, yeah, I'm in. Now I'm sold.
I'm back in. And they had a pretty good rest of their show.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that.
The next thing they showed, Control. I think that looks really cool because I was a huge fan of PsyOps, which was a game from like the PlayStation 2 era that I always thought was super cool. Like, I think Midway did it, and you were like a psionic agent. You would go around and like,
yeah, it was a really cool idea. It was a cool idea.
And like Remedy, the people that make this are, you know, it's Quantum Break and Alan Wake and Max Payne. And those games, like, I, you know, for as much, for as ridiculous as Max Payne is, it was a fun to play game. It did a lot of really cool stuff in it. So I don't know. I thought this looked really cool. I thought it was also kind of refreshing to go from, you know, female-centric game, male-centric game, female-centric game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is kind of a big deal. And then right after that, Resident Evil 2 remake.
That looks really good.
That looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, that looks really cool. It just reminded me again of how much I liked Resident Evil 4 and, you know, how much everyone kind of wanted them to do this after they did the Resident Evil 1 remake like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
People have been asking for this one for a long time, and this one I feel like is going to happen in January.
Yeah,
no, the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah, no, this is definite. This is more of Capcom's apology tour of like, all right, we're sorry. We're...
Also, hey, Square, they're remaking Resident Evil 2. Huh? It's coming out in January. They announced it this year. It's coming out in January. So, so 2 years ago, another PlayStation 1 game was on three discs, whereas this was on two. Still has no release date in sight.
Yeah, no.
Square, you're getting beat by Capcom in this department.
Mm-hmm.
Get your shit together. Okay? No, this Resident Evil 2 trailer was really cool. I have a couple of friends that are really big Resident Evil fans, and watching them freak out on Facebook about this was really fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. It is my favorite one in the series. I'm very much looking forward to going back to this. I loved the original remake. The first Resident Evil remake was awesome.
Yeah. This is interesting because they didn't go the route that they did with that one, where the first Resident Evil remake stuck with the fixed camera and the tank
controls.
They
just kind of gussied it up.
This is amazing ways. Like, it was a great remake because it proved that the theory behind the original Resident Evil was a sound one.
Right.
We just needed to modernize it a bit. This one is just really from the ground up and adding more modern sensibilities to the whole thing. And I hope there's not much in the way of blowback on it because it just looks so good. This is just another one of those games that I'm kind of confused why isn't coming to Switch. Because there are other Resident Evil games on Switch. Resident Evil 7 came out on Switch, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That weird streaming service thing. So,
I
don't know.
Did they announce this as a PlayStation exclusive?
No, I don't think they did. I'm pretty sure this is multi-platform.
I can't imagine why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is coming to at least PS4 and PC.
But it does look very, very cool.
It does. This next one I didn't care for. Trover Saves the Universe?
Yeah, that looks terrible.
That look, yeah, it looks awful.
I am not a Rick and Morty guy, though. So
I dig Rick and Morty, but the little dude at the end that was came out talking was Morty. So, all right. And the game itself just looked like crap.
Yeah, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, so
that was not an enjoyable thing. That kind of, and like there were the weird interludes of like more little things. Like there was a banana rocking out on a guitar for a little bit, and it kept like flashing dreams up there. But it's like, all right.
Yeah, again with the dream stuff, they're like 4 seconds of a character from Dreams playing music, and then it stops. And you know what? We didn't get any of during this conference that game. Not until after the conference, they did a short gameplay thing, but that was after the conference.
Yeah, it was a weird choice.
Why did they keep bringing it up? And then it was not, and they didn't even really bring it up. They were just like, and here's a thing farting in a trumpet, and now we're moving on to the next game. What the hell?
Yeah.
Then they move on to Kingdom Hearts.
Which was actually, I mean, when you come down to it, a really solid showing for Kingdom Hearts, because the special edition bundle, that PS4 looks awesome, and I'm not even super into Kingdom Hearts. It just looks really cool. Plus the package of 1.5, 2.5, 2.8, and 4, or and 3, all together on one package. Like, all right, that's the way you should play Kingdom Hearts now. And what they showed
is like,
great.
You could play the whole series right here, and this pirate stage looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
Captain Jack looked great.
He sounded great.
The stuff with Hercules looked awesome. Again, the story is just so bananas insane at this point. I have no idea what's going on.
I'm actually looking up right now. I got to know if that's actually him, because it sounded too much like him. And I know that Kingdom Hearts throws a lot of these real voices in here. Yeah, it's still Haley Joel Osment doing Sora.
There you go.
All right. Zach Levi and Mandy Moore are there from
Tangled. They showed Tangled. They showed Frozen. Like, watching this, I was very excited to play this with my girls. Like, they are going to love the shit out of this. I was kind of surprised that we didn't get, like, a Moana reveal in this as well. I felt like that was coming. Because
they
could be some... There could be some really cool stuff with... Have you seen Moana? Like, have you watched that with the kids?
I have not watched that yet. Karen has, and I just haven't...
Excellent.
It looks great. My kids don't really do movies yet.
It's so good. Tamatoa, the giant crab. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff. And maybe that's a thing in the future. But, I mean, this... It looks like more Kingdom Hearts, but, you know...
It looks like more Kingdom Hearts nonsense.
Yeah, just complete and utter nonsense, but it's going to sell... Like fucking proverbial hotcakes, Chris.
It's gonna sell really well.
But then,
all right.
Instead of ending the show, in the middle of the show, we got a trailer for Hideo Kojima's brand new naked pizza delivery simulator, which is what I feel like this game is.
I have officially lost all interest in this game.
I am so
out. Take Kojima's name off of this and tell me you're even remotely interested.
I am 100% interested in it because I have no fucking idea what it's about, but it looks intriguing as shit.
It does not to me. It looks stupid as shit to me.
Thing, it just looks so weird. But that, like, a game like this, I don't think you... Like, this is the kind of thing where you have to see Kojima's name on it, and you have to be like, all right, I fucking trust that dude.
You know I don't I mean? Trust like, that
this
dude.
This is such a weird-ass thing that's happened. Like, I have no idea what at all is going on. I really, really honestly thought that after this conference we would have at least a semblance of an idea of what this was going to be, and now I have more questions.
I don't have more questions. I am out of questions. I am out of craps to give. I think this game looks stupid. I think it looks dumb and boring.
And
this is
year
why
3
now.
That. Yeah.
This is year 3 of Death Stranding showing up at PlayStation conferences, and I'm out. You have lost me. I'm sorry. I just I don't care about this game anymore. I think all the gameplay stuff they showed of it just looks dumb. And I'm out.
I can't fault you for that. I can't. Like, this is the one game where I can't even make a good argument. I can't. Like, I'm into it because it's Kojima, and I trust implicitly. Which might be a fucking mistake. I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. You're gonna play it. I'm not.
I'm gonna buy it. I don't know.
Did you care about Neo too?
Sure. You know, yay. Team Ninja. Like, there wasn't much, but it's coming, and that's great.
All right. So here's where. All right. So. Did Resident Evil 2 looked super cool? More of that stupid dream stuff that was just didn't make sense from a presentation standpoint.
Really
Trover
didn't.
Saves the World looked dumb. Yep. Kingdom Hearts is Kingdom Hearts. Death Stranding was a giant snooze fest. Neo 2 is niche at best. And then they ended the show on Spider-Man, which was not a good plan because Spider-Man looks cool. But it's nowhere near the most impressive thing they have.
No. Should have ended on Ghost of Tsushima.
Exactly. That's what they should have finished with. That was your big finish. That was your big moment. And instead they're like, and here's Spider-Man. You've seen a ton of this game. Here's a little more. Good night.
Yeah,
wait, what?
Weird ending to the show. I was not sure that it was over. I didn't know if we were moving to another location. That being said... Yeah. This game looks amazing. And I know you're not into it.
It looks web of.
Wow. Spectacular. Was there anything in this trailer that got you more excited to play it? Or in the hour that they showed afterwards?
No, and I think I figured out what it is about this that's been rubbing me the wrong way, and I think it's the color palette.
Okay.
It's not as colorful as I think a Spider-Man game should be. And it's weird to say because it's got all those colors in it, but it seems a little too washed out, and I think I just don't really like the art direction very much. But it is neat.
I think it looks like it is going to be so much fun to play. Because when we all played Spider-Man 2,
mm-hmm.
the most fun part mm-hmm. of that game, like... hours just swinging around the city.
Yeah, if that's really great in this, then I could be sold on it.
The
I
combat,
still love the costume, but the combat looks.
But there are other costumes fun. To get too.
Exactly. I just don't know why they're pushing this one so hard. Like, I don't know why they're choosing this weird, giant white spider with the white knuckle pads and stuff. I don't know why this is the one that they're pushing.
Because it has something to do with the story and it will go away rather quickly in the game, would be my guess. They're like already, if you pre-order the game, you can get like three different suits. The Iron Spider suit is going to be in it. The Spider-Man Noir suit is going to be in it. Like, all of that is very cool. It gives you different abilities and stuff.
And that's neat.
The combat in this looks amazingly fun.
It does. It's got the wisecracks going on. It's very Spider-Man.
The voice acting was great. The sort of redesign, like the soft redesign on the villains to fit them into the look of this world was very cool. Mm-hmm. I thought Electro looked awesome. Like the
because Electro isn't an easy character to fix. Electro looks stupid in the original. His original comics costume is dumb.
It's so dumb. It's so 1970s ridiculous. But like if you look, I saw like a close up picture of the Electro character model today, and he's got like some scarring on his face that somewhat
to kind of
match
the mask.
Yeah, the mask, which is pretty cool.
I noticed that. That's pretty clever.
Mr. Negative, I was so impressed by the fact that it actually looked like a negative. Like, it didn't look like a black and white character. It looked like a character that was flipped into a negative.
Yeah,
which
that was
really
neat.
It was such a cool visual. Scorpion was really cool. Like, I was
Rhino was cool.
Rhino was
Why'd
cool.
Why'd they stop at 5, though?
Because the reveal at the end, or like the teaser at the end of like when he's like, oh, you like, is it Venom? Is it Green Goblin? Is it Hobgoblin? Is it Kraven? Is it fucking Carnage? Is it Silver Sable? I mean, it's probably not Silver Sable, but
I see the impression I got was that it was someone coming to help him out.
Or
not somebody to come stomp him more, is it, but I
is
guess
it
I could have
Prowler coming to help him, or Cardiac, or fucking Miles Morales, or like
Moon Knight.
Is it Moon Knight? Son of a bitch. I'm so into this game. I'm so excited for this game.
I don't know. I saw the villains and I'm like, one, two, three, four, five.
It's the Sinister Five.
It's the Sinister Five. What are you doing to me here?
It's the Ferocious Five.
Yeah, now look, I'm happy about this game existing. I wish it was selling me, and I wish I could really put my finger on what it is that's rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it just on paper, this game looks great. This was the wrong way to end, though.
Yeah, I really.
It's such a known quantity.
Right.
I'm baffled by this one. I'm just completely baffled. If this would have.
If you flip this and Ghost of Tsushima, and you do Last of Us 2, Spider-Man, all this other shit, and then end on the first gameplay reveal of Ghost of Tsushima, because like the trailers that we've seen before were just story and just, you know, like concept and you know, kind of getting your feet wet in this world. But then the gameplay reveal was so cool. Man, if you ended on that, it's like, fuck, this is
amazing.
Like,
remember when they ended on, was it Uncharted 2, like all those years ago, and everyone was like, or when they ended on Uncharted 4, even, like, that's the stuff you end on, not known quantities. Like, we've seen a ton of Spider-Man already.
Yeah. Or, like, I really, what surprised me about this being the last thing they showed was that Days Gone was not the final thing that they showed, because I was like,
we're
seeing Spider-Man, Days Gone is next.
Nothing was next. That was nothing. All right, good night.
This was
again to akin to another crappy Nintendo moment. This felt similar to you know, that year that Nintendo Land was there for the Wii U, and we were expecting that one more thing, and then they were like, all right, we're gonna leave you with this crappy fireworks display in engine.
Yeah, and that
good
was
night.
It was just like,
wait, what? Like, that was kind of neat, but wait, where are you going? Get back here. You're not done yet.
Yeah.
I'm not done with you yet. But they were done. And they did some gameplay stuff afterwards. They did some Treehouse Live-esque segments. And I did not expect this. It was a weird, weird show. It was one of the most poorly put together shows imaginable. With some great content. Great content, but...
I mean, the three games that I am most excited about from E3 are Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2, and Spider-Man, and I feel like they had the worst show. That's a weird thing to be able to say.
It is, and it's just all about the way they presented it, which was very poorly.
Mm.
All right. Do you want to talk about the PC showcase at all?
I didn't even look at it.
I know almost nothing about it. There was a bunch of stuff, and I don't know what any of these games are.
PC Master Race. Good for all
PC
of you
Master
guys.
Race. Congratulations. All right, so now we have now we move on to Nintendo. Nintendo'd up the place.
They did
what they do. The Splatoon World Championships were super fun to watch. That was a blast. That finished today. It started last night. That was cool. Me and my son watched some of that. So these little tournaments they had going on, I think were a lot of fun. I watched the Smash Invitational. I missed the second half of the Splatoon World Championships because, you know, I was home with the kids and all that.
Right.
But the Smash Invitational I watched most of, and that was so much fun to watch. That was a blast to just watch all these people play in this new game and just the way it looks, and we'll get to that in a bit. But those little extra things Nintendo had cooking up, I think were really cool. So, the last thing in the world, this is such a weird, weird way to open a show. Not as weird as a guy with a banjo, but
no,
cracking open their event with Daemon X Machina coming in 2019 from Marvelous.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sold. That game looked cool as hell, but what?
Yeah, it's a weird open.
That's a weird open. That's a weird way to start your show. I kind of forget the order this stuff came out in. I know they started with that one, then they moved on to the Xenoblade DLC, I think.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Like, all right.
Looks neat. Good for Xenoblade. fans.
Yeah, I did not watch this live, so I watched whatever order I found the videos in.
Gotcha. Yeah, so then they moved on to that.
It looks cool, and for people that love that game, which I know it has a rabid and passionate fan base, I am sure they are over the moon that it is being supported.
Yeah, and the DLC looks really nice. I think it's got some interesting story hooks in it, what little I know about Xenoblade's story. And the fact that Xenoblade is now a million-selling franchise for Nintendo makes me really happy.
Yeah, that's great.
I feel like Monolith Soft has been trying to do these Xeno games for so long, like since PlayStation. Yeah. I'm glad it's gotten where it's gotten. I'm really happy for them. We got some more stuff on Pokemon Let's Go, which was kind of expected.
A game that they do not need to advertise. Like, there's a new Pokemon game coming out. Okay, here's all the money.
I think it was just really one of those obligatory, like, here's Pokemon. Yeah. It's coming. There you go, investors. Don't you worry about a thing.
Yep, and when you buy the fucking Pokeball controller, you unlock Mew. All right, done.
Okay, so
that's enough
sold
that.
To a lot of people.
Yeah.
Both
versions, one of each to my kids.
Yep. Ooh. So we talked about Pokemon. We talked about the
Super Mario Party.
Super Mario Party. How did I not see this coming?
I
really thought Mario Party was next year.
I thought so
really
too.
Did.
Still don't care. Some neat looking stuff.
Yeah, I don't particularly. Here's why I kind of care: is that it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad, but then, to be fair, if you look at all of the Mario Party trailers, none of them look bad.
I would disagree.
The execution. There look to be some cool ideas with having multiple screens laid
out. Yeah,
that
was kind of a neat
like
trick.
That looked kind of neat, but...
But the board game itself looked like classic Mario Party, where it's your individual, because I don't know if you know this about Mario Party games, but they've really been screwing with the actual board game element a lot lately, to the extent I think the last one all the characters moved together,
which is weird,
that's not how board games work,
bastards. It's not.
Stop it. This looks like a little more back to basics and some fun goofy mini games. This is a smart move. Of course Mario Party's coming to the Switch eventually. I think it's neat that it's coming this year. It's going to fill out October nicely, and this game will sell plenty of copies.
Yeah,
it's
it'll sell a ton.
It's not going to pull any attention away from it's not going to pull any attention away from things like Pokemon and Smash Brothers, because those are two giant juggernauts at the end of the year. It's just the right kind of game to fill out the schedule. So thumbs up. October 5th, Super Mario Party. And I like the name too. They didn't go with Mario Party 11.
Yeah, we can go Super Mario Party 2 and Super Mario Party 3.
And if we're really
still
taking
won't be in my house.
Yeah. That's what makes me think that they're taking that back to basics approach. Is that they're calling this something different. So thumbs up. They did show Fire Emblem, which I think looked really impressive. I like the look of these crazy battles now, how they're just a lot more dynamic than I've ever seen them in a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to buy it because I've never been a huge Fire Emblem guy, but I was really impressed with the way it looked, and I was like really sold on it until they got to the end of like spring 2019. Like, ooh. Much for 2018.
But still, I mean, that gives you something. That was something that we talked about, though. Like, you need to have something for, like, what does Nintendo have coming down the line? Like, I know Smash Brothers is coming this year. I know Pokemon is coming this year. What else do you got? Boom, spring 2019, Fire Emblem.
Like, right now, their 2019 is looking pretty spiffy. You know, they announced that Daemon X Machina game, which is 2019. They told us that the actual new proper Pokemon RPG is next year. Bayonetta 3 and Prime 4 are presumably next year. We believe Yoshi is next year now, and Fire Emblem's next year. That's looking like a pretty good year so far.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not bad for Nintendo in 2019. So I will say, like you said, that game coming out next year does make me feel really good about the longevity of Nintendo's first party lineup. So neat. And I do think the game looks very good. I think it's a really, really cool looking thing. They did the full Fortnite reveal, big, worst kept secret in games, but there it is. It's real. It's on Switch. They even devoted some time to it on what was Treehouse Live afterwards. So,
and it's out already.
It is. It's out today. And you know what's kind of neat about? I never realized how charming this game was. I never really paid any attention to it at all, except for, you know, the Thanos DLC. I saw a handful of videos of that that looked funny, but I still don't know that this game's for me, but I did think it was pretty charming. Like, I didn't realize how much personality there was in this game's existence. There's a lot of this overtook PUBG by out PUBGing PUBG.
Yeah.
And I think PUBG looks generic as hell, and yeah, this does too. Not.
Yeah.
This does not look generic as hell, so I'm Team Fortnite.
Epic doesn't make bad games.
Yeah, good on them. And getting this on Switch, getting like the most popular game on the planet on one of the most popular systems, this was a smart call, getting this on Switch. So yeah,
they're going to...
Thumbs up.
Ton of money.
The FighterZ is coming to Switch. Happy as a bag of clams. I couldn't be happier.
As well,
they highlighted a couple of, you know, indie things, which was cool.
This Hollow Knight thing will probably end up being the next game that I get on Switch.
Hollow Knight's elsewhere already, though, right?
It's PC.
Oh, it's only on PC. I did not realize that. I just know I've been hearing of Hollow Knight for a long time. Oh, that game looked really cool.
Yeah, it looks very cool. It looks like it plays really cool. It's a Metroidvania-style game. The art style looks great.
If I was neck deep in as many games as I am, I probably would have picked it up today.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I will get this after I finish Owlboy and Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which I picked up on the PlayStation sale. And Call of Duty Black Ops 3 was free, so I'm going to play a three-year-old game now and, like, see what that's about. You know, so, like, I don't know when I'll get to it, but it does look very cool. I do definitely want to play this.
Also, apparently Killer Queen is a really big deal.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it either. Okay. And then I kind of did a little research, and it's an arcade game in Japan. Like, an actual, you go to an arcade and play this.
Right.
And it is apparently, like, a really big deal. And then I saw the gameplay. I was like, yeah, this looks kind of neat. I could see how this is fun. I'm not sure I understand why it's that big a deal, but
yeah,
the people who know that it's a big deal seem to be really impressed that this is a big deal. So,
yeah.
Yay. And then my second favorite game of the entire show, probably. I'm so excited for Overcooked 2.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool.
I'm so jet, because Karen and I played through Overcooked and it was so much fun. And this looks, it visually is a huge upgrade over the first one. And it looks like it controls a little tighter, which was one of my few gripes with the original. It seems a lot more obvious where you're picking things up and putting them down. You can pass ingredients to one another now. Like, you can throw things, which will be huge. The stages look nuts. I love the original Overcooked so much, and I'm so happy this game's coming. And it's on all the platforms, as far as I know. It's just been spotlighted on Switch because it's the first one has done so well on Switch. It's ridiculous. I was so excited about Overcooked 2 being real. It was all but confirmed, you know, as part of that big leak that included FighterZ and Fortnite and everything,
right.
and Paladins and. I'm so happy this game was real. I'm so happy. And then we get the rest of it was all Smash Brothers.
Well, there was the Octoling announcement, the DLC for Splatoon.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be out.
It's out tomorrow.
Yeah,
but that
the 13th.
Yeah, that didn't get announced until earlier tonight.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, they announced that at the end of the championships.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's coming.
That was one of the things that was pissing me off during this show. It was like, oh hey, Octo expansion this summer. Like, come on, tell me when this thing is. And then it, you know, after the little tournament thing, that's we found out. So
the new 3-pack of amiibos looks pretty cool.
They do. The Octolings look super cool. Octolings, they're the Octolings. The other monster guys are the Octarians. I can't remember, but I love the Splatoon world. It's really super cool, and the Inklings look great in Smash.
They do.
Oh my God, Smash! I think what I saw it called online was like Super Smash Brothers. Don't ever ask me for anything again. Edition.
this
is just like
yeah,
everyone's. It's just completely. on one hand, it's really disappointing that it's so much of the, oh, is this character returning? Is this character not returning? All that weird hype is gone because every character that's ever been in Smash is returning.
Including Solid Snake, which was
including
cool.
Solid Snake, confirmed to be voiced by David Hayter. At first, I was not thrilled with the way the game looked until I kind of realized that it was more my internet connection than anything. Because when I was watching the actual tournament and all the gameplay stuff afterwards, I started noticing, like, at first it almost seems like, all right, cool. So it's not a port. It's more like a greatest hits album. That's kind of neat. And it's really not. It is definitely a very new game. The more I saw of the actual gameplay, I'm like, oh, wow, they actually revamped every single character in some way. And some of it's not even minor things. The fact that the way they're handling the Zelda characters, I think, is awesome. Because every game, they've always kind of been from the same art style.
Right.
And this one, Zelda is from Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds character model. Link is Breath of the Wild. Ganon is Ocarina of Time. They're just like, screw it. Just bring them all in. Who cares? Multiple costumes for different characters. The way a lot of the moves work, even simple things like the way Mario flaps his cape is just so well animated now. It's very different. Things like sudden death, when you get to a sudden death, the camera slowly pans in and the outside is on fire. So like it really adds the intensity to a sudden death match. Mid-air dodging is different now. Your character like swipes to the side instead of just doing a simple dodge in place. There's so much new here and lots of little touches. The game looks really nice. The art direction is great. And the fact that they not just included every character, but did something to every single character to change them in some way, shape, or form to make it, you know, more balanced and more different. Is nuts. It's nuts. This game looks so good. It was so much fun watching the Invitational, and now the little bit of speculation of even Sakurai coming out and getting expectations tempered, coming out and saying, there's a ton of characters here to balance. I hope you're not expecting too many new ones. was pretty nice. I'm not expecting too many new ones.
I was a little disappointed that they did not include, like, because I was watching this and trying to look at it objectively. And, like, if I were a huge Smash Brothers fan, I think I would be a little disappointed.
Really?
Yeah.
In like, what way?
There's nothing new, I mean, apart from Ridley.
Well, the Inklings are new.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Ridley is new. Pichu hasn't been in the series, in the game, since Smash Brothers Melee on GameCube. Solid Snake's back. There's a ton of new stages. There's new music. And the fact that, I mean, really, the gameplay itself being as refined as it is, like, from everything I'm reading and seeing, all the impressions, this does not play like Smash 4. It doesn't feel like this is just a port with a bunch of characters in it. It's different, and it's great.
I don't know. This is definitely one that I will be able to give a much stronger opinion on because, you know, I have kids that are 9 now, and they love Smash Brothers, so there is no way I'm not getting this in December.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely going to be delivered by Santa Claus, without question. So.
Fake Smash Ball? My God, that's hilarious. Smash Ball, the Smash Ball is a thing that you beat up, and then whoever gets it gets to do their special move.
Right.
There's a fake one now that if you beat it up, it explodes.
That's kind of funny.
The final smashes, the way they revamped all that, that's really cool too, because they've changed the flow of this game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The final smash moves for certain characters really kind of were kind of overpowered and kind of cheap and took a long time. And they really streamlined it so that the final smashes are super cool and super fast. Now this is done. You've delivered the damage. Done.
Right.
And so many characters got totally new ones too. Like, all the Fox characters all had Landmasters. Now they have these cool little cinematic things that do essentially the same thing as a lot of other super moves would do. But, you know, Donkey Kong has a new one. Ganon has a new one. Like, The new Bowser one, like, you used to turn into Giga Bowser and be like, oh, now I'm Giga Bowser and I'm huge and I do lots of damage. Now you turn into a giant Giga Bowser in the background and you get to aim a reticle to throw one giant, like, insta-death punch. They've streamlined this so much, and the presentation is really, really cool. They've added all these little touches to things that you can see down on the bottom of the screen, like where your character is and your percentages, like lots of different gauges and things that'll tell you where you are with characters that need to, like, build things up. You know, how much ink you have if you're an Inkling, how much power you have if you're Rob, those kinds of things, how close you are to a Limit Break if you're Cloud, you know.
Yeah.
All these little, there's so many little quality of life things that they added to this that are just insane. And the fact that it's not coming out December, it means they have a lot more time to do things. Like, I noticed the only character that didn't look super impressive to me was Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's like they're going to add some fur texture to him later.
Right.
Because they kept saying, this game is in development. We're working on it right now. I'm hopping a plane right now to go back to work on this game. But for the most part, like the cloud stream that follows when you hit the characters is much more pronounced, and I think it adds a really nice touch to it. Everything UI has been so cleaned up and is so fast. Apparently the loading time in this game is like just super fast, getting from character selection to where you're going. You pick stages before characters now, which is a really interesting flip-flop. God, there's so much here that's different, and it didn't seem that way just from watching what they showed there. You know, what they showed during the presentation was like, wow, here's all these characters, and they kind of detailed all the a bunch of subtle things they did to those characters. But then actually watching people play the game and seeing all the different stuff that's in there, and the new assist trophies, and the fact that there are new characters, and one of those new characters is freaking Ridley.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That was awesome. That was so awesome. I love the way he looks. I love that his trailer basically has him murder Mario.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of gruesome, but I love him. I love his final smash. I love that there's a freaking Ridley amiibo, and Daisy's in there too. The way they're handling the clone characters are sort of like they're calling them... I can't remember what they're calling them. I'm drawing a complete blank on it, but whatever.
Echoes or something like
Echo
that?
Echo characters. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Which is good. You know, have those Echo characters, but don't have them be like, and this is a totally new character, Dark Pit. Like, well, yeah, no, it's Pit with a different costume and some slightly different moves. Have Echo characters. That's great. That's a great way to get Daisy into the game. And I think that's cool. And she's getting an amiibo. And it's kind of neat that the two new characters are Daisy and Ridley.
That is pretty cool.
Daisy Ridley. That's hilarious and a complete coincidence.
And
we know there's going to be more. There's definitely going to be more characters announced before December, and I still have my fingers crossed for Simon Belmont. But
nah, it's got to be Crash and Smash. I'm just sad that didn't happen. That's why I'm disappointed.
Didn't happen yet. That's the other fun thing about Nintendo is, like, there's going to be at least one more Direct before the year's over. So
oh, sure.
We're not done yet.
No,
I think they don't even have anything
first-party
announced two. For...
I mean, we're only at least, yeah,
at least one, maybe two, because if I'm looking at their schedule, they have, you know, June is pretty packed with the Octo expansion, the DK expansion for Rabbids, Sushi Striker and Mario Tennis. Next month, you have Octopath Traveler and Captain Toad, but then you don't have anything in August. The only thing in September from Nintendo is Xenoblade 2 DLC. And then you've got October, November, October, November, December with the, you know, Super Mario Party and Starlink with Star Fox in October. November's Pokemon, December Smash. So really, the, you know, fall is kind of an open book.
Yeah.
So that could be really interesting to see where that goes.
There were a couple of, I think anyway, noticeable absences from Nintendo. I am shocked that there was nothing said about Animal Crossing.
I'm not. I don't. That I know that me. A lot of the internet is impossible to please. Like, yeah, Smash Brothers. I'm pissed there's no Animal Crossing. It's like, come on. Animal Crossing is probably next year.
I mean, sure, but something.
Yeah. You know? I'm not surprised that there isn't a talk on Animal Crossing, because looking at how packed what they have is this year, like, they're putting a lot of muscle behind Mario Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, Square's Octopath Traveler, which they want to draw a lot of attention to. And I don't think they're about to dump Animal Crossing this fall. And you've got Mario Party, Pokemon, and Smash for the end of the year. Animal Crossing is such a big name for them now. It would have to be one of their big end of the year games or something like big to start the year with or even to kick off the summer with. I don't feel like there was any room for Animal Crossing this year. And
I'm still surprised there wasn't even a mention of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they like to focus on this, what's in front of them. And I know there's a lot now known for 2019, but I get it. I get that they didn't want to draw any attention away from anything else. And I was kind of surprised they didn't even mention Metroid Prime 4.
Until afterwards, right? They mentioned it.
It was in an interview with Bill Trinan, and he basically said, when we have something to show you on Metroid Prime 4, we're going to show it to you. It is actively in development. You don't have to worry about it. And that's what that announcement was about. That was, the Switch is new. People are concerned with the future of the system right now. We wanted to let you know we have the games you want in development, but they're not ready to show it yet, so they're not showing it yet. And I'm fine with that. I don't think any people... No one should have realistically expected that game to be a 2018 game. And I know Nintendo doesn't love to show off a ton of stuff that's coming too far out anymore.
Right.
So I'm not surprised. I'm just kind of disappointed they didn't mention or even give us some inkling as to the direction that Prime 4 is taking.
Yeah. That's really more what I thought it was going to be. Or
I thought there would have been something. Now, granted... E3 isn't over. Nintendo does have a habit of pulling stuff out of the hat, like on Wednesday. Like, could still be something coming that we don't know from Nintendo. There's every possibility we could get something else. But as of right now, that was conspicuously missing. Same thing with Yoshi.
I was surprised Yoshi was
complete no-show. But again, in that same interview, Trinan said, you're going to hear more about Yoshi later this year.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's been there was some data mining saying that on the eShop it's listed as a 2019 release now, which all right, that's fine. And
yeah, that's fine.
Really, that is fine. There isn't the only place that game would truly fit is in the fall, and I feel like they've got something else planned for the fall. They don't need Yoshi this year, so give it more time to cook and release it when it's ready.
I was a little surprised at the lack of third party support, or at least focus on third party support.
I wasn't surprised by that.
Me a little bit.
I'm disappointed by it, but I'm not entirely surprised. You know they had a great showing from Ubisoft, and I know Bethesda is doing well for them with, you know, Wolfenstein coming out later this month and putting the Fallout Shelter on Switch. And I'm sure we're going to get more from Bethesda later as well, because they do seem to be... They have a pretty good relationship with Nintendo. EA didn't have crap for them. Square's got... I keep forgetting that Octopath Traveler is a big third-party game, because it's got that cool art style that kind of screams not big third-party game, and I keep forgetting it's freaking Square Enix that's publishing this game, not Nintendo. So
yeah.
But you're right, there wasn't a lot of... They didn't really hit up on third parties much. I was expecting to see some more Starlink with the Star Fox crossover, and they barely even mentioned it. It was like briefly part of their sizzle reel, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, again, not surprised, but kind of disappointed by it. I did think that more third parties would be like, wow, this system's selling like hotcakes, and the games are selling like hotcakes. We should make some games for this thing.
Right, and we should get in on this.
Yeah, not as many people are doing that as logic would dictate, but who knows?
I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
Well, here we are.
In general, I was kind of underwhelmed by this year's E3. I mean, I know we just spent almost 2 hours talking about it, but I was kind of underwhelmed.
Yeah, I don't know if underwhelmed's the right word for me. I mean, I can't say I was underwhelmed by the PlayStation conference. I was more confused and enraged.
Yeah, because there's definitely stuff to be excited about. So
yeah.
give me your top three games of what you saw.
Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Just loving how much I love Smash Brothers. Overcooked. and Ghost of Tsushima.
All right.
Those are my top three, I think.
Mine, like I said, mine would go Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2, and Spider-Man.
Honorable mention to Starlink, surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really surprised and really disappointed nobody told me anything more about Guacamelee 2. I just want more.
Yeah.
Just give me something. Bastards.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Starlink's going to be for you either, but I like how much it's reminding me of the things I liked about No Man's Sky that I never got.
Right.
Because apparently that game was not very good.
No, apparently not.
Apparently didn't get any more No More Heroes either.
Yeah, no,
this year, indie game, so.
This year was kind of light on like big surprises.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of stuff that I didn't see coming.
And we did kind of predict that last week of like, we don't think that there were going to be any huge, like, crazy announcements, you know, but.
I do think, genuinely speaking, we didn't do great on our predictions.
No, I don't. Well, I got Battletoads.
You got Battletoads.
So I'm calling that a win.
There was like no info on Soul Calibur 6 really either, right?
No, but Namco has been steadily releasing stuff about that, like on their own. They did add, they just released a thing where they added 3 character slots and a random, or 2 character slots on the title screen and a random, so like possibly system exclusive characters, possibly new characters. I don't know, they've just been releasing like a lot of stuff on their own. But we'll see. There is still tomorrow after we record this. I mean, when this comes out on Friday, there might have been like, here's all the other shit you cared about. It was on Wednesday. Son of a bitch, who knew? Not usually how that happens, but maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe. All right, Chris. I think we should stick a fork in this one.
I think you're right. I think I am ready to go the hell to bed. I
think we are ready to start the 2018 summer series next week, Chris.
That's right. So that is our show. Join us next week when we will be kicking off the 2018 Stone Age Gamer Podcast summer series. Dan, you picked both games that we're going to start off with the first week before we open things up to the voting for the next 2 months. What are we playing?
We are going to play through and complete, hopefully, to the best of our abilities. For the Sega Genesis, we are going to play through Dick Tracy and Spider-Man. Two games that I loved as a kid, and we're going to see how they hold up with a modern eye towards them. And what we're going to do a little bit differently this year is we are going to go through and we are going to like actually rate and review them. Because usually on this show, we just talk about stuff. And we kind of talk about, you know, in general, our opinions on the games. But we are going old school review, you know, gameplay, graphics, sound, fun factor, replayability, the whole schmageggy, as it were. So we are going to be a proper review show once a month for the next couple of months.
How very exciting.
How very exciting. I'm really excited to get back to these games.
I have not played either of these games.
You've never played either of them?
I've never played Dick Tracy. I'm sure I've played at least a few minutes of Spider-Man in my life.
You,
but
sir,
I have almost no remembering.
I believe are in for a treat.
I hope so, because I got to put a bunch of really good stuff on the back burner for this. I have a lot of games that I've been playing lately that I really want to talk about, particularly
these are like,
West of Loathing.
These are like half-hour-long games at best. So, you know, 11-year-old me really loved them, though. So we'll see how mid-30s me feels about them.
We all know how much we love 11-year-old Dan.
Mm.
Anyway, once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade K-R-I-S. And Dan, where can the good people find you?
@Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. We'd like to thank Dean for technically producing this online live version that we're doing tonight, although I haven't seen him sitting in his chair in a while.
No.
I see Jess standing in the doorway, but I don't know where Dean went, so whatever. We'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which I have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for more fresh original content. That is it, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, our live audience, for tuning in. And on behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.